The whole industry was so different. When I first started casting, there was no such thing as a digital camera. We used to go to Glastonbury with a sack full of Polaroid film, because I'm all about street casting, because I can get exactly what I want. 9 times out of 10, I'll just have to go and find it. I love this industry. I love everything about it, actually. If you were going on a casting, do your research all the way. Find out a bit about the client. Out of 10 models, all of them look perfect for the job. They all have exactly the right look. But they can only take one person. Who are they going to take? The person who's the nicest. Because a personality is what makes a person attractive.
Hi guys, welcome to The Model Agents. I'm Gemma Howarth, the CEO and founder of Body London. Today on the podcast, I'm interviewing Camilla Arthur. She is a world famous casting director, has some amazing stories. I hope you enjoy. Camilla Arthur.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Model Agents podcast. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you very much for having me. I feel very much at home with model agents.
Yeah.
I do, actually. It's where I came from.
Well, I was going, that was my first question. So where did it all begin for you?
Well, actually, my uncle was a friend of Lorraine Ashton. Lorraine Ashton was this agent who doubled up with IMG. So it was Lorraine Ashton IMG. And so this was a model agency back in the 80s, 70s. I got my first job in 1979.
No way.
At Lorraine Ashton IMG. Yeah. And so I started off. Do you know what my wages were?
No.
I got paid $5,000 a year.
And what was that? What wage was that back then? Was that a good wage? Was it just...
No, it wasn't great.
But, you know, you had a job in a model agency. You were...
But yeah, and yeah. I got my foot in the door and I loved it. Yeah. And it was great. But then after 3 years, I left Lorraine's and I got headhunted by Models One. And I got the job running the girls division at Models One.
Love that.
But that was when they were in Redcliffe Gardens, which was tiny, small, nothing like the big sort of massive model factory they are now.
Yeah. So who was on your board back then?
Okay. Well, Yasmin.
Le Bon.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I spoke, Simon Le Bon ran up to say Yasmin Parvaneh, which was her surname before, he really loved the look of her, wanted to take her to the premiere of that James Bond movie, that Duran.
Oh, what they did the song.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. Live or Let Die, I think it was.
Yes, what was it called? Yeah, I'm not going to sing it anyway.
Sing it, please. Go on, do it.
Should you? So I spoke to him and said, yeah, I'll ask her. And Yasmin went, no way. And I'm like, Yasmin, go on, it might be a laugh. Yeah. No way. I had to force her.
No way.
Yes.
So hang on.
And they're still
so
married.
So that's basically how you were the facilitator.
Well, I was the facilitator of that wonderful romance, which went a bit for a while, but now it's back on course.
Yeah. And then any other dramatic stories back then?
Oh, God.
I'm sure you have so many.
Yes, there were loads. Oh, I'll tell you, what was her name? That model who did that Volkswagen ad with the fur coat.
Oh, the famous advert.
Yeah,
yes.
What was her name?
I know who you mean. I don't know what
I
her
can't
name
remember.
Was.
Anyway, she was a nightmare. Yeah. She used to
in the
come
80s.
In. And scream at us all. She used to come in with bottles of champagne, lure you into a false sense of security, and then scream at you. She used to make us all cry. It was dreadful. Jose and April, the two owners of Models One, used to have these major fights every day. Literally, the door came off the hinges.
Yeah.
Practically every week, we used to have the building man come in to put the door back on.
No way.
Way.
Love that.
We had people like Dale Elliott. We had Jerry Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that. It was back then, 79. So it was shoulder pads and lip gloss all the way.
What was Jerry like? Well, she's still around. She's looking fab. What was she like back then?
Pretty much. She's actually the same she is now with a few less lines.
Really?
Yes. I mean, what was she doing marrying that Rupert Murdoch?
I mean, seriously, you're
having a laugh. And he had the balls to ditch her.
Didn't he do it on an email?
My
Yes, yeah. By text.
Oh, text.
Yes.
So how did you get into casting? What was, where did it,
well,
you know, come
when
about?
I left, when I stopped being a model agent,
yeah.
I assisted photographers for a bit.
Okay.
Which was kind of all right. I then did a bit of PR, but I wanted to be a photographic agent. That was my plan. Mm. And actually, after a brief spell of doing fashion PR,
yeah,
I became a photographic agent. But we used to have such a laugh. No, I mean, it was the whole industry was so different.
Yeah, so different.
It really was. I mean, and I think we're really lucky because it's better now for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Just like with your agency and the mental health aspect, yeah, which is so great that you care.
Yeah.
But back in the day, I mean...
So, yeah, what would happen back in the day when someone... I don't know, said, I don't... The thing is, you didn't really make it a thing back then. You would just go to work. But what would have happened if someone just said, I'm, you know, unhappy or whatever? How would that have been handled?
Well, you see, they never would they? Yeah. They would lie and not go to... I mean, a couple of those. But everything was so different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is this whole thing with the Me Too movement and all of that that is so complicated because back in the day, blokes would hit on you like that the whole time.
Yeah.
Not that it was right, because it wasn't right. It was a bloody nightmare. But we had to deal with it because that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember Anna Curtis ran me up in tears from the south of France, having been forced to go down with a bunch of girls, forced to go down to stay at the weekend with a whole bunch of dodgy blokes, because if she didn't, she was never going to work again in Paris.
Yeah.
And they're terrified of that. But rather than telling us beforehand, they would tell us when it was a bit too late to do anything.
And also, they didn't have mobile phones.
And
you know,
didn't.
We forget you're there and you're just completely isolated. And you're in the south of France. And the south of France back then was, you know, not that easy to get to either.
God, remember that guy that got shot, the Italian guy that got shot by a model? Do you remember that?
No.
Yes, I can't remember her name or anything, but it was some girl in Milan. And I think it was all sort of, there was nefarious, it was some cocaine. And
she shot her. Wow.
Shot him dead.
It's crazy just how...
Isn't that crazy?
You know, but then I don't want to say things like that. Well, I think there's still a lot of this that does happen in the industry, still to this day.
Do you think?
I know, I hear many a story. And I think when we get these girls that come to us and they just, they feel safe because it is, we are, you know, we say we're a family, but we really are. We actually do have a duty of care. And as you know, our model management team have mental health qualifications. So we really look after them. But there's a lot of stuff still happening that shouldn't be happening.
So what do you do about it?
In our remit, but when we get these girls coming from overseas, or even sometimes other agencies over here, and you think, you can't, you know, as you were saying earlier, favourites, let's say, so you have to come here, otherwise I'm not going to book you.
Yeah.
You know, that still happens in a lot of agencies, not with us, because that's one thing that is not acceptable. But overseas in other territories, they'll still have the girls have to go to clubs, or they'll have to, well, sometimes when we are briefing girls and we're signing them, they will sometimes have the mother agent on the Zoom and the girls will have to be in their bikini. And we're like, we don't need you in your bikini.
Yes.
And it's very antiquated and we don't need that.
No,
you know, the world's changed.
Really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time
and
things have changed amazingly. Mm. So the fact that it's even going on at all still is actually fairly terrifying.
I know it is. It is. And also as a mum, I'm like, sorry, that's unacceptable.
Well,
why
exactly
are you sitting next to this? Like, who are you anyway? Put your clothes on.
Yeah.
We're going to do it tomorrow. You know? No. God, that is, it's crazy.
It really is crazy. I mean, God, I wish I'd actually, I made a mental note of some of the stories because there were some crazy things that went on.
I bet.
But it was the sort of parties. I mean, this is going back.
Yeah.
We're talking early 80s.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were only... They weren't far from being escorts, almost, against their will.
No,
through no choice of theirs.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? It's
mad. Really is.
So why did you then... What made you want to leave modelling and go into
casting? Well, it's virtually the same thing, really.
Yeah.
You know, you either have an eye or you don't have an eye.
And, so true.
And I do have an eye. And actually, being an agent can be quite soul-destroying, actually. Mm. You know, that saying, everyone loves to hate an agent.
Yeah.
And they kind of do. You know, the person that you represent.
Yeah.
And drop you in it just like that. Mm. And, you know, the client can whinge about you. And, excuse me, all I'm doing is trying extremely hard to get you work.
You're all stuck in the middle between client, model.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a $5,000 a year wage. Yeah. Thank you very much. It seems a bit sort of lopsided.
Yeah.
But casting seemed a very obvious next step for me.
Yeah.
You know, having said that, I went from being a model agent into a photographic agent.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still repping people in the industry. I mean, I tell you what, were you working when the whole Marchioness thing happened?
No.
Weren't you? That was probably the biggest, it had the biggest kind of effect on me. Out of all the weird things that we had to deal with over that time. Because after that, it went literally every day for about 2 months after that, I would find out somebody else I knew or worked with or knew of in the industry had died. I mean, my best friend, who I got a job at the agency, wasn't found for 2 days.
Oh, my God.
You know, it was... But every day we found out another person, and it was really...
So what was it? Tell everyone about...
Oh, the Marchioness. Yeah. Okay, the Marchioness was a boat. It was a birthday party for Joey... what's his name? Jonathan Pang.
Oh, yeah.
And... the boat was going along, everyone was dancing, having a good time. I'd come back from Spain, especially for the party.
Mm.
Luckily, my boyfriend was dicking around and I missed the boat, thank God.
Yeah.
Because as it set off, they were all shouting, "Oh, Camilla, meet us at the next bridge." And I thought, "Oh, I can't be asked." And so I went home, watched telly instead, thank goodness, because... they were hit by a dredger and the boat literally sort of cracked in half and over half the passengers were killed.
Shit.
And it was all from the same industry. And that's so shocking when you have a disaster like that from one fairly small, let's be honest, industry.
Mm.
Because you pretty much know everyone who died.
Wow.
And it wipes out.
And you were meant to be on that boat.
Yeah, I came back from Spain especially for the party.
Bloody hell.
Luckily, nothing's changed and I was late. and what happened, though, was it was a blow for everyone in the industry. But what really shook me was I had a girl come to me for a job and in my photographic agency. And she had told me that after the Marchioness incident, Jonathan Pan had instructed her to, as a photographic agent, because he became an agent, photographic agent after thing. And he instructed her to go out, see the ad agencies, which was our job, but to make sure that they were all aware that Jonathan had been on the boat. And in other words, sympathy vote, trying to hustle work on the sympathy tip.
Mm.
What?
Mm.
I'm sorry. I was so disgusted by that that I packed it in, actually, really? And left my agency. I just had had it. I just had a really nasty taste in my mouth. And I went off to India and didn't actually find myself.
I was going to say it about you.
But then I came back, and it's all very well to sort of flounce off, but that's the only industry I knew.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed working in it. So that's when I started casting.
And when was that? Was that 90s? Yeah.
19. Okay. In fact, it was 1990 to 91 or something.
Okay.
And casting really kicked off, actually. Mm. Oh, my goodness. It was... I had a spell of being like smarty pants of that particular corner of the industry. I, believe me, I'm not that anymore. I'm just an old bag. But at the time, there was a spell when I was, and I was sort of flouncing around thinking I was God's gift.
Love it.
Which I actually was. No, I wasn't.
So what were the most exciting things that you cast for?
Oh, my God. The one that was really genius was I done on holiday to New York with Jenny Howarth. Do you remember that model, Jenny Howarth, with the shaved blonde hair?
Okay, yeah.
She and I went to New York, and I got a phone call when I was in the cab on my way to the airport to fly back from this bloke who said his name was Calvin. I'm like, Calvin?
Yeah.
Calvin who? Calvin Klein. So I'm like, and he put his hands on one of my casting tapes.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Or Stephen Meisel had found one or something, and he showed it to Calvin Klein.
Wow.
And they wanted to recreate my casting tape for the campaign. So do you remember that CK1 campaign?
Yeah.
Well, that was based on...
No way.
Yeah. Because my casting tapes were all like that, so people slouching in, looking...
Yeah.
Kind of worse for wear, but very cool and grungy and fabulous at the same time. And so, yeah, so that was really cool. I really enjoyed that.
No wonder you're walking around thinking you're the hottest shit in town.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go you.
You know, that was wicked fun. I did that for I don't know, about 8 years. And then I tried my hand at directing, which was cool, and I enjoyed it,
but
it's not like it was really hard.
Not hard, but what it was there, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, having been earning a fortune casting, and I really made a shed load of cash, I then had to, and I was spending it as fast as I was earning it.
Oh, no.
I was then having to build up my showreel as a director. I was the RSA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was a kind
Ridley
of cool.
Scott, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't ask to be a director. They just asked me if I wanted to. And so I said yes, but I thought, why not? Give it a whirl.
Yeah.
But you have to go through at least a year working basically for free, building up your showreel to then get yourself more work. And actually, my first commercial was banned for too much sex and violence.
No way.
Yes, which is quite funny.
I love that.
Yeah, which was good. It was for an employment agency.
So what did you do?
Well, it was, I had...
Oh, I love that.
Do you remember Rachel Williams? She was a major model.
Okay.
Beautiful. She did that TV show called... Oh, man, I can't remember. We're talking about 90s.
Yeah.
And Kate Moss was my roommate. She rented a room in my house, as did Mario Sorrenti, Glenn Lutchford, and all that lot. And they're sort of my son's godmother, et cetera, et cetera. So it was that whole scene, which, you know, was quite out
crazy
there. But it was
scene.
Good fun.
Yeah.
But it was... quite out there. I don't quite know why I'm saying that. I was really trying to illustrate
the scene that you were in.
The scene that I was in.
Nice.
So I had to manage as a director without earning much money, which was a struggle. And I actually found out the person that was batting me, but as he took over the running of my casting business while I was going to be a film director at RSA.
No.
And he actually managed to steal a lot of money off me.
No.
Yes. Basically, it was quite a lot in the early 90s, 78 grand. That's what he took.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Yes. But because of that, I wasn't in a position to... So then I just sold out and moved to LA.
So talk about when you had Kate and Mario Sorrenti. Were they together at that time when they were?
They had just got together.
Yeah.
Kate hadn't really started working much.
Hmm.
Nothing had really quite happened for her yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was...
What was she like?
Oh, she was great.
I mean, I love Kate.
She was great. And I mean, you know, I'm sure she's still great. I don't see that much of her. I do every now and then. I worked on that, on Ab Fab, the movie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Kate was in that.
Yeah.
So I saw her then, which was really great. And if I run into her now, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a different scene. You know, she's worth so much money. It's just...
But she's still Kate.
She's... Yes. She is still Kate.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to cut there.
I think we're going to stop there.
Oh, I love Kate.
She's great.
I worked with her a few times, actually, and she... Once I worked with her and she was about to get married...
What's
his name in Oxfordshire?
Jamie Hintz.
And we're sitting there and they're lighting up, blah, blah, blah. And I'm literally just chatting to her for like, I don't know, half an hour. She's telling me everything that's going on in the wedding. She's telling me the song that he's going to sing. And I'm like, Kate, you shouldn't be telling me this. She is just the coolest chick.
Yeah.
I just love her.
She was a crap godmother, but apart from
really?
My son.
No.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my son, while we're blowing trumpets and stuff, he is doing so brilliantly. And so my stepson, Tyrone Le Bon, has an agency called Doobie Doo, which represents photographers, basically, including him, including my son, Frank Le Bon, who is doing so well. He was in Brazil shooting for Tenzo last week, and he did the Skims commercial.
Oh, did he?
Did you see that one?
Oh, wow. Kim K.
Yes. With all the space they like Barbara.
That's your son?
That was my son.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Love that. That's fantastic.
You guys should be working with him.
Yeah, we probably are. He's
probably
one of my team. Yeah.
Yeah. So and my husband was Mark Le Bon.
Yeah.
So my whole life has been in this industry.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and I'm still kind of in it. Yes, of course I am. I'm still casting.
How has social media changed the industry for you?
For me, it's a breeze.
Mm.
I mean, you can imagine, before, when I first started casting, number one, there was no such thing as a digital camera.
Mm.
So we would go casting to Glastonbury every year. Hardy Blechman, who has Maharishi, company, he was my roommate, and he made all these T-shirts for me, which said in the front, "Cal girls, like cool girls, boom, boom," because my name was Camilla Arthur Le Bon.
Nice.
And then at the back it said that. But we used to go wearing these T-shirts to Glastonbury with a sack, like a bin bag full of Polaroid film, because there was no such thing as a digital camera.
Yeah.
So every time we'd spot someone, I'd have to write their name with a pen and take a photograph on the Polaroid and then put the pictures in the sack and then drag it. So that was completely different. Everything was different.
Yeah.
But social media, if you think about it, well, because I'm all about street casting, because I can get exactly what I want. Because when I see the brief, I know what that character should look like.
Yeah.
And so rather than just hoping that that character is represented somewhere, nine times out of ten, I'll just have to go and find it.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, we have to get models, in which case, obviously, we go to a model agency like yours. Yes, so for me to be able to post a breakdown and get, I mean, just the most amazing talent falls on my lap.
Wow.
It's amazing.
So it's completely changed for you.
Oh, it's completely changed. Yeah. It's so different, so much easier. I mean, everything was, I used to have big copies of Spotlight.
Yeah.
That book.
Yeah, the book. The massive,
directly.
Yeah,
yeah. For actors and what have you. And they were enormous. Just sort of A to B was the size of a phone book.
Yeah.
And so, do you even have phone books anymore? Probably not.
Probably, but yeah.
But so, just that alone was so different.
Yeah.
Because now you have all these things like casting networks.
Yeah.
Do you work with them?
Well, we have Casting London. So I actually set up last year a platform community called Casting London. We've got.
Didn't tell me.
I did so tell you, actually.
Oh, shit.
It's fine. We'll cut that bit. So I have Casting London. So it's got over 8,000 talent on there. So it's basically because very similar to you, actually. I hate saying no to people because I will get casting directors like yourself who will call up and say, Gemma, I need the most random brief and I want to give it to you. So I basically thought, you know what? I'm going to create this online platform so these people can sign up so that it's easier for you. So that is going amazingly. But I love it because I think, God, you could be working in, you know, anywhere. You could be in a bagel shop. You could be doing whatever, even have, you know, work in a bank and then apply on Casting London and suddenly be on a modeling shoot or a, you know, TV commercial.
Oh, no, this is brilliant. So in other words, I can. Okay.
Yeah.
You only have people who are not represented.
So it's a platform for you can be a represented model.
Right.
You can be, you can be a real person. So anyone on the street. So it gives everyone the opportunity to kind of break into the industry.
Yeah.
But also it's an amazing tool for you because you can post on there and you can scroll through. And speak directly to them. And it's not, it's interesting because some people say, well, aren't you afraid of doing that because you have a model agency? Well, I'm not really, because then if you needed a model, I know that you would come to me.
Of course I would.
So,
yeah. And actually, I suppose that's not that different to, because I have a database, which isn't everybody that I come across with street casting. It's a certain type of person who I have in my database. But when I post a breakdown, if I post it with you, what's it called?
Casting London.
Casting London.
Yeah.
Gosh, I haven't been utilizing it as I should.
Yeah.
I promise you, I will pull myself together and start. In fact, I might have I do have a breakdown already for you.
Some people, some clients actually, we can do this for them as well. They'll send us the brief and then we can cast for them on casting. So if you actually, you want to see what we've got with our models, but also if you want us to do a wider pool, just send us the brief. We put it up there and we do it for them.
But hold on a sec. What, you do the cast? You pick?
Well, we will select it for you and then we will say we've just fine-tuned it for you because, as you know, when you're casting, you'll have Tom, Dick and Harry apply and it will be, okay, you're not a female, you know, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
Of course.
So we will just get rid of the sort of 80% that's not
the
brief.
They're not quite right. They don't fit the brief.
They're not the brief in any way. And then we will give you the 20% that is the brief. And then that's when you know, when you choose.
Do you ever get asked by your clients to actually cast the job for them?
Occasionally, yeah. And we're doing a lot more production as well. So we're doing the whole shoot production, which makes so much sense.
Absolutely. So you probably need a nice casting director to work with very closely.
I do. I need Camilla Arthur.
I think you probably do,
I think I do, yeah.
Great. I'm glad we've established that.
Well, now I know that you cast, you basically cast Kate Moss and Marky Mark in the CK. That's incredible. What an absolute, you know.
But you know what's crazy and what's awful? Quite a few of those kids in that CK1 campaign are no longer with us.
Yeah, that's bad.
And mostly through suicide.
Oh, that's awful.
I don't know whether that is a direct reflection on the industry or, but it's quite heavy that.
Isn't it? That's very frightening actually, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't quite know why. I haven't given it enough thought.
I think that, yeah, it's very hard to avoid everything that went down when it went down.
Yes.
You know, you partake or, yeah.
Do you have, I can't remember, do you have men? You don't?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes. Apparently you scouted Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Well, he was a friend. I met him with a friend of mine called Dawn Estefan, and they were mates from uni, I think, something like that. And I met him at some party, and then I used to put him up for castings, and he used to get them all.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to maybe do it seriously, so I got him an agent, helped him get an agent. And then off he went.
But
it's so amazing that, and you see them. Mm-hmm. The other one, Jason Statham.
No way.
Well, he was a high diver when I first started putting him up for castings.
Mm.
He wasn't a model. He was a diver.
Like an actual diver?
An actual diver. A high diver.
So niche.
I know. He's not that tall. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you can be particularly tall being a high diver.
I don't know.
But I would have thought it works better if you're not.
Is it like Tom Daly, that kind of thing?
Yes, he sort of swizzled around in the air.
Okay. There you go, Jace.
But he was really good. Yeah, go Jace. People don't know that about him, actually, do they?
Love that.
But I can't remember if, I think I put him up for that Calvin Klein gig. I don't know if he got it or not. I can't remember. But he was another one. Then also there was Rachel Weisz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But we found her photograph, actually, mm-hmm. underneath. She'd sent a photograph to Models One when she was at uni.
Mm.
Oxford or Cambridge, I think. And so, yes, so I took her on at Models One.
Wow.
And
what was she like?
So great. She's one of these women, you know, she was very bright, like really bright.
Mm.
And it's always a pleasure working with someone who's, because they're not so much, they're not really a problem. They just know what they want. They know how to get it.
It makes your life easy.
Yeah. It's just straight up intelligent. Oh,
yeah.
It's lovely.
Love
a nice bit of intelligence.
So, have you seen Sasha since he's blown up?
No, I haven't. I saw Jason in LA a few times, and he's amazing. You know, I hadn't seen him for 30 years, and I walked into a room, and he's like, Jamila!
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and think of all the hundreds of millions of people that he's had. So that was great. But Sasha, no, I never.
No call up, Camilla. Thank you.
Not as much as I'd like. Maybe I should remind him.
No. Oh, do you know what? I love to hear that about Jason. I think he really does come across like that. And to hear that he is like that is fantastic.
Yeah. But I tell you, the other one like that you touched on earlier was Yasmin.
Yeah.
Yasmin and I were quite good friends
when I
was her booker. Yeah. Mm. But I went to Coachella a few years ago, and just like with Jason, I heard this like cat whistle thing. And it was Yasmin, completely recognised me, hadn't seen me for 20 or 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And she spotted me from across a crowd, remembered exactly my name and everything.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, it says so much about her.
Mm. Oh,
she was
sweet.
Really good girl. Tell you what, if all models were like her,
dream.
I would still be a model, but I suspect.
That's probably what kicked you out.
Yes.
Love that. Okay. So, what advice, imagine that you are giving advice, well, not imagine you do this all the time, but you've got a lot of people who just keep getting rejected at castings. What would you say to them? What would be the Camilla Arthur advice?
Right, well, it's a tricky one.
Don't say give up.
say what?
I thought you'd say, oh, give up. No.
No. I have said that before now, though. Well, okay, there are various little things that I do say to people, like don't wear too much makeup, prepare, learn. Okay, if you were going on a casting, prepare.
Mm.
So all the way. So depending on who the client is, find out a bit about the client. Check out the present campaign that they've got going. So the chances are there will be some kind of continuity there.
Good advice.
Do your research and don't, you know, it annoys me when people come to castings of mine and a cheesy kind of look me in the eyes of hi,
ooh,
too cheesy, yeah, cheesy. That makes my skin crawl a bit. But people who've bothered to find out a bit about the photographer, the director, the production company, the client, anything, it says a lot about them.
Yeah.
And believe me, as you know, and as I'm sure you tell your models, out of 10 models, all of them look perfect for the job. They mm-hmm. all have exactly the right look. But they can only take one person. Who are they going to take? The person who's the nicest,
yeah,
who's the most fun to yeah. be with, and who's the most authentic. Mm. That is who they will book.
Mm. Great advice. So not too much makeup.
Not too much
Don't
makeup.
Be cheesy.
Don't be cheesy.
Just
prepare.
Be yourself, and preparation is
yeah.
key. Yeah,
preparation is key in this industry, I think.
But don't you find it so interesting in the UK how we will have, like you said, a room of models, okay, and you could have one absolutely just drop dead, and you'll have another one equally beautiful, maybe not as drop dead, but their personality will just shine through. We will always go for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know, obviously, if it's a trip, nobody wants to go for 2 weeks with somebody who's a pain in the ass.
True.
You want to go with someone. But even if it's a one-day shoot,
yeah,
because a personality is what makes a person attractive.
Mm.
And I mean, you should actually not be as good looking as the other person.
What
but
love,
your personality is such that they'll want to book you.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And that there's a way of being with people.
Mm.
And you know what? If you've taken the time to find out about another campaign that the client is doing, and you rock up at the casting and you introduce to them, how do you do? I love the campaign that you've got running at the moment with such and such and such. It just looks like you know your shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you care.
Yeah.
And it's really good that, so that's what I'd suggest.
I think that's really, really good advice. And what advice would you give to someone going to their first casting and they're so nervous and they've not done it before? What two or three things would you suggest? Obviously, we've just spoken about this.
Yeah.
But just someone who's completely green and brand new.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, if when you get there, you take the casting director to one side and you say, I mean, the thing is, for me, the majority of my castings, they're street castings, so it's all of their first go. So I mother them all like a hen and try to make sure that they are feeling okay. Because if they are feeling okay, they will behave well and in such a way that they will be attractive, their personality will show, and so the client gets what they want and everyone's happy. But just go up to the casting director and say, this is my first casting, I'm as nervous as hell. You know, if you say that, nobody, and if they do, then you never want to see them again anyway, but no one is just there to brush you off. They will take care to make sure that you are okay. And there's nothing scary. You know, I was told by one model that when she first started, she used to imagine the clients all sitting there without any clothes on.
Yeah.
And it used to make her laugh.
Good. Yeah,
and
good
made
advice.
Her relax
yeah.
so that she wasn't as nervous at a casting. Yeah. So you should always try that, I guess.
That's interesting advice, actually. And that would take some confidence to go up to the casting director to say, this is my first casting. But I think the psychology in that is that's good advice.
And I mean, I like to think that casting directors, we're all the same and a nice and friendly bunch, but probably not all are.
Oh, they're not all like you, darling.
Oh, you devil. but that's what I suggest. If it doesn't work, then, hey, you haven't lost anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They just aren't going to be particularly helpful. But yeah. if it does, it will make you feel better.
And also, who gets their first casting? Come on.
Yeah, who does? Well, actually,
a few people do. I'm just trying to make you feel better. But yeah, no, it is interesting. And what is it about certain... Okay, no, self-tapes. Let's talk about self-tapes.
Okay.
So that's quite... was very important since yeah. COVID. So many people now do self-tapes.
Yeah.
What is a bad self-tape? What is a good self-tape?
Okay, I'll tell you. A bad self-tape... And I have had many like this. In fact, I had one with the girl made the tape in the loo with the loo chain dangling beside her head like a sort of earring, like a disembodied earring. It was ridiculous. But I've had so many where it's literally shot in backlight that's so extreme that they're in profile. You can't see anything. They're just black. Mm. So think about it. What I suggest is you set up a little area in your home where it doesn't have to be professional lights. You can use a lamp with the shade taken off. But just set it up so that the lighting is there ready. And you should spend hours in the evening with a mirror and with your phone videoing yourself until you get the light that's the best.
Yeah.
Put a little bit of time into that and set it up, because then it's done.
Mm.
And so every time you have to do a self-tape, you know that the lighting's going to be great. It looks great. You've done it a million times.
Mm.
And off you go. It's all ready to roll. But it's, yeah, I know that there are times when I give no time at all and I say, I need a tape and I need it now.
Mm.
And I know that's the case. But if I am demanding the tape from you and you're out and about, just bear in mind the same issues that you've had at home.
Mm.
So in other words, make sure that the light is in front of you, not behind you.
Yeah.
And things like that.
And a clear background.
Yes. I mean, yes, there are going to be times when you're out literally in the street, so you can't necessarily get a... But, yeah, just common sense.
Where would they put their phone? You're on the street.
Uh-huh.
You know, Camilla's called you. I need a self-tape. What would you say to them? I don't know what to do. What do I...
Okay, well, it depends what I want. If I want just like a headshot...
Yeah.
Then stick your hand out, because the length of your arm is such that it is the most flattering distance.
Okay.
I don't know why, but
so
it just is. Just stick your arm out. If I want you to prance around and wave your arms in the air and do a dance or something, then you're going to have to prop your phone up on a windowsill or something, or, you know, out and about, go down a back street and set it up.
Yeah.
But no, it's... Because I remember when they used to have those Polaroid cameras, not the Polaroid ones, but what were they called? A flip or something.
Do you mean the disposable ones?
Mini, Instax Mini.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when people realised how flattering that distance is. And it's exactly the length of your arm.
Yeah.
So I suppose your head is... relative in size to your arm, I don't know. But yeah, that's a really flattering distance.
Good advice. And also clothing.
Yes, well, if you're out and about, nothing much you can do about
just,
that.
Just run into a shop, buy something, take it back.
Yes.
But don't steal it.
Yes, don't steal it.
No.
But if you're at home and I'm asking you to pretend that you're Queen Elizabeth I and you happen to have an Elizabethan outfit in your wardrobe, then great, bring it on. But you won't necessarily have that.
Mm.
If you want to bring a prop into the mix, then do, because it's good for a laugh apart from anything else. Because, you see, the self-tapes are instead of a live casting session. Therefore, you don't have the opportunity to show the client just how fabulous you actually are, your personality, as well as your load, obviously. But so how are they going to know that they are wanting to book you and nobody else?
Yeah.
They're going to have to learn that from the bit of film that you send them in your self-tape. So therefore, try and put that across as much as possible. Mm. Don't waffle on for hours about, you know, your first pet and stuff. But just bear in mind that we want to learn about your personality in those few minutes that you're making that tape.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Have you had any absolute shockers that have happened over your careers, maybe in casting?
Oh, God.
Or we block them out of our memory.
I'm sure I have.
God, or in your modelling career, in your booking.
My booking career.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I did a casting once for Toto Belofo when I was at Models One. And he went, because he was particularly keen on redheads, he booked me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And Jose Fonseca said that I really should do it. And she was right, because it gave me an opportunity to know what I'm putting all these poor girls, sending them off to do the whole time.
Yeah.
And so, oh my God. Okay. So they were shooting, we were shooting in Mauritius.
Yeah.
So we.
You went to Mauritius?
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
I know. Well, that's what I thought. Until, so flew to Zurich, then changed flights, went to Mauritius. Exhausted.
Mm.
We've been traveling for like 20 hours. Went straight to the hotel, then straight up into the style. It was for Vogue Sposa or whatever.
Yeah.
So I had to go into the editor's thing to try on the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Went straight from there out onto the beach in a swimsuit.
Wow.
Where I had to do over and over and over again. I had to ride along on a bicycle and then touch my foot onto my head.
Whilst riding the bicycle?
I kept falling over, obviously. So I was covered in bruises.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you what, by the end, I was a shadow of my former self.
Oh, my God.
I thought, I'm not going to do that again, Mary. Yeah.
How are you meant to do that? Just contort your leg to your head? Wow.
And I had to do cartwheels, he wanted me to do. You know, he was that whole sort of freckles,
red hair,
cartwheels bit.
So you come back and you then have a newfound sympathy for the girls.
Oh, my God. Yes, that shut me up.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Really, it was very good for me, though.
Yeah,
because we
definitely.
Didn't send them off to... And I didn't have any real understanding of what we're putting them through.
So what are your 2025 goals for Camilla Arthur Casting? What's your...
Make as much money as possible and get as much work under my belt as possible and carry on smiling.
Just keep doing it on repeat.
I love it. It's such a good job. It really is.
Yeah.
I love this industry. I love everything about it, actually. Even the bad bits I love.
Yeah.
So I didn't complain about them. No, it's the best. And so, you know, but I'll tell you what, when you get to my age, I'm a realist. It's coming to the end. It's an ageist industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not increasing your success as you reach 60. It's actually the reverse, which I have to learn to deal with. It's painful, but I do have to. So I have to figure out my next move, basically. Mm. I mean, I will always cast as long as somebody wants me to, but I'm going to have to do something else. And I think that probably is imparting what I have experienced.
Your wisdom,
And the wisdom that I have gleaned over the years to people that want to know.
I think that's fantastic. And I think you should, because there's so many people who want to know how to break into the industry, how to behave. And you have so many stories, but also the advice. I think you would be wasted not to to do that. So combining that with your casting, I think.
Yes. I've got to work out how and what I'm going to do. I mean, I did that podcast for a bit, but because of my dad and what have you. But, you know, at least because of my son is writing a movie at the moment.
Is he?
And does he directs as well. And I'm helping him do that. So that'll be fun.
That's amazing.
So it gives me an opportunity to spend lots of time with him.
Yeah.
And yes, so So that'll be exciting.
He's followed in your footsteps. That's amazing.
And in his dad's footsteps. Did you ever work with Marc Le Bon?
So what? Tell everyone about Marc Le Bon.
Well, I mean, he was so out there. He was great. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the early face photographers with Jamie Morgan. They were mates together. On our first date, he, instead of whipping out a rose or something romantic to give me, he got out a penknife and hacked off the tongue of his high-top trainers and presented it to me like a rose.
Are you joking?
And that's when I knew he was the man for me. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He was wearing a skirt made out of a European flag when he met my father, who was like a general.
Yeah.
You know, so very straight. Straighter. Yeah. And there was, this is the man I want to marry, Dad. And there was Marc Le Bon, wearing a European flag as a skirt.
Oh, my God.
And a high top, missing a tongue.
And you were sold.
I was sold.
Yeah. Wow.
He was great. And it's lovely that Tyrone and Fran are so fully immersed. What's interesting is Mark was all editorial and couldn't quite get his head around the advertising behaving well enough to do advertising.
Yeah.
Whereas Fran and Tyrone have got a bit of everything. They've learned from both of us. And
from the mistakes and what,
They've drawn it down, actually.
Yeah. You know that James, who works in my model management team, he used to work for you.
Oh!
James.
Yes!
You call him James Parrot Squawk.
Why is he called Parrot Squawk?
He's not. He's called Parrot Young. You call him Parrot Squawk.
I knew somebody did.
Oh, my God.
How's he doing?
He's great.
He's
fantastic.
Really good. Yeah. He did a Diesel. No, it wasn't Diesel. It was Braun.
Oh, yeah.
Razors.
Did he help you cast for that?
Yeah, he did. He did a good job, actually.
He's surprisingly fast for a guy.
Yeah.
That. Anyway, no more compliments about James. That's it. Or go to
send
his
head. Send him my love, though.
Oh, I will.
Parrot Squawk.
Parrot.
Shit, what do I like?
That's not his name, no. Oh, you're a legend. Camilla Arthur, thank you so much for coming here, really.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming.